We've given a few additional announcements. There will be a wedding shower for Natasha. Nope, that's old. January. What's that?
It's not over yet.
It says the 14th on here. Is that beginning January? All right. It's under December, so. It's going to be at Zach Yates' home at 3. That's still correct?
Yes.
All right. Christmas program, the 25th. The total money makeover is every Thursday at 7. Let's see, for January, again, total money makeover, Thursday at 7. There'll be a wedding for Nathan and Natasha on the 28th of January at 3 p.m. The audio committee is meeting after lunch on the 1st. There'll be a business meeting for the election of officers for the year of 2017 on January 11th. And there will be a triennial business meeting on January 18th, 2017. Young people's trip on the 21st of January. Meet at church at 9 o'clock a.m. And a young people's study on the 25th at 6 p.m., also at the church. Please check your cell phones. And when we're leaving tonight, last person, if you could check and make sure that the church is locked. We appreciate that. So,
Aaron,
yes.
And just a reminder, my Sunday school class will be here at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Is there a presentation for the Christmas program?
Okay. Kim's Sunday school class is going to meet here at the church at 6 o'clock for practice.
Thursday.
All right. Well, glad to report. My brother said I never used any of his scriptures this morning, so I feel good about that. I didn't steal anything from him because it's not good to steal. So I'll give you the speaker of the hour, Uncle Ken.
Make sure I'm on. Good evening. Good evening to you who are live streaming tonight. I'm kind of like Aaron was this morning. It's not really a Christmas sermon. But I guess in reality all sermons are kind of Christmas sermons because we speak of Christ. Our Savior came to earth. And up until that time, we were separated from God. Mankind was separated from God. We had no hope of salvation. But Christ came to give us hope. He came to break the bands of death. He came to hang on the cross, to shed His blood. And through His blood and His mercy, we have hope of salvation. And that was the purpose to come. He came to die. He came to die. He came to hang on that cross. He came to give His life, to give it willingly for you and I. So, as we celebrate His birth this Christmas season, and I'm not sure that December was the time of His birth. I'm sure it wasn't. But, you know, we celebrate His birth. We celebrate the hope that we have. And I must have left my notes by my seat. No, I showed them to Zach and said it was a short sermon, but it's not really. It may be. In Psalms, in the last five or six Psalms, from 145 through 150, King David used the phrase, "Praise ye the Lord," 26 times. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of our service, our devotion, our love. He's worthy in thought, in word, in deed. You know, I had to agree with my brother Stephen Wednesday night. You know, and when he said, we've all heard what we have to do. He said, over this pulpit many, many times, we've heard what we must do. That we must be prepared for the Lord's return. That we must trust Him. That we got to have faith. We have to keep the commandments. We have to serve Him. So my sermon's not about what we have to do or what we can't do. Hopefully my sermon tonight will be about praising the Lord. So I'm going to turn to begin Psalm 145. Now, I don't think I'm going to take a long time tonight. Psalm 145, I'm going to read verses 17 through 21. And it says, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. You know, the Lord is righteous and He is holy. A reason to praise His name because He is righteous and He is holy. The only man to walk this earth in perfection. And as He sits on the right hand of God today, He is holy and He is righteous. And it's only through His mercy and His sacrifice that we have the hope of eternal life. You know, the Lord said, no unclean thing can enter His kingdom without Christ. We're unclean. But His sacrifice makes us clean, or can make us clean. His mercy covers our sins. His blood covers our sins, our weaknesses. We all know, like our brother said Wednesday, we all know what we must do to lay claim to that mercy. To lay claim to Jesus Christ. To have that hope of eternal life. So the Lord is righteous in all His ways and is holy in His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. And maybe that's the key to that verse. The Lord is close to us. When we cry unto Him, when we call upon His name, He is close. He hears us. You know, unfortunately, sometimes I think we feel that He's kind of far away, that He doesn't hear our prayers, you know, because we may pray for weeks or months or even years and don't seem to get the answer. But as I've been reading the Scriptures and been praying the last several months, last several years actually, more and more I come to the conclusion that God cares for every aspect of our life. There's not a thing that we do or say, not a care that we have, that He's not aware of it. That He knows our hearts and our minds, our thoughts, our desires. Knows those things that we stand in need of. In our humanness, many times, we don't ask for the right thing, perhaps. But He knows that. And He knows what's best for us. And He will guide us and direct us. And that's so important. So important to come to Him in humility. To come to Him seeking His direction. Seeking His direction. And many times what we desire is in total accord with His desire. But He's close to us. He's nigh to all them that call upon His name in truth. In truth. And that's the key to this verse. In truth. We come to Him with a sincere desire to seek His counsel. A sincere desire to serve Him. A sincere desire to have salvation. And willing to do whatever is necessary to gain that mercy, to gain that compassion, to be able to call upon the name of Christ in truth and have eternal life. You know, part of my desire, of course, is eternal life. And I try to be like the Apostle Paul sometimes when he said, I know. Apostle Paul says, I know I have a crown. I hope that we all have that knowledge, that hope, that faith, that assurance that we have a crown waiting for us. Verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Those of us that worship him, I think that word fear in this instance, more aptly translated, worship, reverence, awe. Those that come before him in truth, worshiping him, fearing him, in awe of him. Now, we talked in Sunday school this morning a little bit about how churches are, well, kind of opening the doors to everybody and watering down the gospel. But the word of the Lord is true. We must come to him in sincerity. We must come to him seeking his will, seeking his counsel, seeking his direction. We need to worship. You know, Christ is not a human being. Christ is divine. Christ is holy. He's righteous. We must respect that in him. Respect his holy name. You know, and he knows our thoughts. He knows our desires. He knows what we want in life. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. And he understands. But I don't think he accepts any excuses. No excuses. We know his will. We know what he expects. He expects us to fulfill his will, to keep his commandments. So he will fulfill the desire of them to fear him. Ultimately, our desire is eternal life. He will fulfill that desire if we fear him. He'll also hear their cry and will save them. And I think not only save us in this eternal kingdom, but will save us from trial, from tribulation, from those things in life that come upon the children of men, can save us out of our temptation, can save us out of our trial, out of our difficulty, our questions. He can do that. He can do that. You know, he's not a God that sits high in the heaven and just kind of looks over his kingdom and not interested, you know. He's a God that cares for each of us. You know, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight if God had not called us by name. Maybe not audibly, but he knows our names. And he called us by name and brought us here to this very moment in time. Called us out of the world. I don't care if you were born in the church or converted to the gospel. Nobody's sitting here unless we felt the touch of God's Spirit. He saw something in us that he could use that was desirable to him, and he called us into this kingdom worthy of our praise. Worthy of our praise because he did call us from this world and called us into his kingdom and gave us that hope, that opportunity of eternal life. That's what the Christmas season's about. That's why we celebrate his birth. Because of the hope that he gave us. In 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read I'm going to begin at verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Brothers and sisters, we have life because of the Son of God, because of Jesus Christ, because we've accepted him into our lives. We've made that covenant. We've made that commitment. We have him as our Savior. We have eternal life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We have eternal life if we keep his commandments, if we worship him, if we reverence him, if we live our lives in such a manner that's pleasing to him, not filled with the sins of the world, not filled with the lust of the flesh, but filled with that desire of the Spirit within our hearts and our minds to serve him, to love him, to worship him, to praise his name. Our very life, our walk in life, our conversation in the world should bring praise to the name of God. Our very life gives praise to God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that's kind of the key. You know, sometimes we go to God and we don't know what his will is. And we're seeking that will. If he knows whether we're seeking his will and willing to be humble and willing to listen to his voice, he'll hear us and he will answer us. He will. No question. There's no question that he will not answer us. He will answer us. He will give us the direction that we desire. But it's up to us. It's up to me to be humble. It's up to me to come to him in that attitude of fear, of worship, of awe, of reverence. You know, God gave us emotions. He gave us our will. And sometimes it's hard. Hard to set that aside, but when we do, he will hear us and he will answer us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What a wonderful promise that is. If we go to him in the proper attitude, seeking his will in our lives, seeking his direction, seeking his guidance, he will give it to us. He will give us what we ask for. He will give us eternal life because we seek it, because we want it, because we desire it. That's our desire. It should be our only desire in life, eternal life. That's our goal. That's why we're here. That's our walk. You know, sometimes we fail. But God will lift us up. You know, so Christ came and he gave his life for us. You know, some churches still show him hanging on the cross. He's not there. He's not on the cross. They took him down from the cross. They buried him in the tomb. Some of us, I believe, were in that very tomb where they laid the Savior. You know, it was a feeling, at least I had. You know, and the good news of this gospel is that Jesus lives. Christ lives today. He lives in the world. He lives in our hearts, in our minds. I think there's a little bit of a special feeling at this time of the year in the world, you know. There is. So Jesus lives, and we can also live with him. In 2 Nephi chapter 13, familiar scripture. 2 Nephi chapter 13. I'm just going to read 30 and 31. Page 163. Wherefore, if he shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ. And endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. The promise in the Scripture is eternal life. It doesn't say if, it doesn't say maybe. It says if we press forward, feasting upon the word of God, having that proper attitude in our hearts of praise and worship and obedience and servitude, endure to the end, we have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. The only name that we can have salvation through is Jesus Christ. This man, this divine entity, who came and became a man, who died, who was resurrected. He's our only hope. He is our only hope. Worthy of our praise. Worthy of all the honor and glory that we can give to His name. He is worthy. He is worthy. We have forgiveness of sins. Through the name of Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. We have salvation through the name of Jesus Christ. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name because we have forgiveness. We have salvation in His mercy. Through His blood, we can have salvation. The only name given under heaven whereby we can be saved is in the name of Jesus Christ. In 2 Nephi chapter 1. Second book of Nephi chapter 1. I'm going to begin at verse 71, page 83. Wherefore, redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for He is full of grace and truth. That Holy Messiah, the one without blemish, the one that is pure, the one that is righteous, the one that God said, this is my beloved Son, in Him I am well pleased. Redemption comes through the name of Jesus Christ. Behold, He offers Himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law unto all those which have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. If we don't have a broken heart, if we don't come to Him with a contrite spirit, if we don't come to Him in humility, we cannot have the ends of the law fulfilled for us. That law is we can't enter. So we have to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We have to approach Him in humility, giving ourselves, giving our lives, our thoughts, our desires unto Him. And then the ends of the law can be answered. Though the end of the law is we can't enter. That can be answered through Jesus Christ. We have that hope. We have that opportunity. Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah. Only through the name of Jesus Christ, which layeth down His life according to the flesh, and taketh it again by the power of the Spirit, that He may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first that should rise. He broke the bands of death. He separated us from that eternal endless life of misery. He broke that band of death. Alive through Jesus Christ. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have no fear. Because Jesus lives, we have no fear. We have no fear of death. Or at least we shouldn't. If we serve God and have Him in our lives, no fear. Now, I hate to bring her up, but 9 months ago, my wife passed away. And she had no fear. She had no fear of death. Yeah, she was afraid of how. She was afraid of the pain. But she had no fear of death because she loved God. She served God. She had hope. She had hope. Her life praised the name of our Savior. She had no fear. We should have no fear of death, but only joyful, looking forward to that day when we could stand beside Him in His kingdom. We are in the hands of God. If you think for one moment that you're not in the hands of God, you're in error. He holds us in His hands. He guides us. He directs us. He keeps us His. Helps us to follow that path, to walk in that way of righteousness. He holds us in His hands. He cares. He cares about us. In our weakness, in our sin, in our folly, He cares about us. Because Jesus lives, we have charity. We have charity one for another. We have that pure love of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our minds. You know, the Book of Mormon, I'm not going to go to it. The Book of Mormon says that we need to pray earnestly to have that pure love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. I would encourage you to, in your private moment, in your moments of study, to read Moroni, the 7th chapter, and 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Those attributes that we need to have the pure love of Jesus Christ that He wants us, He demands that we have. It's not just something that falls upon us because we believe in Jesus Christ. It's something we have to work at, I think, probably all our lives, to perfect that love. We have God's Spirit. Because Jesus lives, we have His Spirit. We have that Spirit that's a witness to us. That's God's witness to us of what He says is true. It's God's witness to us of Himself, of His Son. It's God's witness to us. Other than salvation, the most precious gift that we can have, the gift of the Spirit. We have joy. We have joy. We have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. If we serve God, if we reverence His name, if we are humble and worship Him, keep Him in our thoughts and our hearts and our desires, and live our lives according to the leading of that Spirit that He has given us for His gift to us, we will bear fruit. We will bear fruit in our lives, and that fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We will have all those things in our life if we serve God, if we worship God, if we praise His name through our actions, through our thoughts, through our desires, through our life. Well, we all fail. We do, we all fail. But the mercy of Christ lifts us up. We can go to Him and say, Lord, I messed up. I messed up and I need Your strength. I need Your help. I need Your forgiveness. And we need to be specific. We need to go to God. I think He requires it of us because He knows our sin. He requires that we go to Him and say, God, I did this. This is my sin. No matter how grievous it may be to us, we need to go to Him and say, I did this. This is my sin. I need forgiveness. And He will forgive us. And all these things are the fruit of that Spirit. He says, against such there is no law. The law of man cannot tell us we can't have love, that we can't have charity, that we can't have faith. No law that says we can't have this fruit. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Wow. Maybe the key to having the fruit of the Spirit is that we have crucified the flesh. We put it to death. We buried it. We buried the lusts, the desires, that carnal person. We buried it. The affections of the life, of this life. The things that we love, the things that bring joy, that are bad for our soul, that are detrimental to our soul, that bring death to our soul. We've set them aside. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's His request. That's His invitation. That's His commandment to us. If we live in the Spirit, we have His Spirit. Let us also walk in that Spirit. Walk in the Spirit of Christ, not in the spirit of the world, not in the lust of the flesh, not in the leadings of this world, but the leadings of Jesus Christ, the leadings of the Spirit. That's how we're to walk. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. We walk in the love of Jesus Christ. You know, we have that answered prayer. We read that scripture. We go to God. He hears us and gives us the desire of our heart. Another thing that Christ did when He came here 2,000 years ago, He built something. Well, it wasn't something physical. Wasn't something that we can see. It wasn't a great edifice. Wasn't a great building. But you know, He built His church. He built His church. He gave us those things that must be in His church. In the Book of Mormon, in the 12th chapter of 3rd Nephi, He said, this is my church. My works are in it. This is His church. We have His church. We have His gospel. We have His love. In Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to begin at verse 29. He cares. He cares about every single one of us. We are important to Him. He hears us. He knows when we hurt. He knows when we're sad. He knows when we fail. He knows our desires. He knows what's best for us. You know, and we're all part. We're all part of God's plan. We're all part of His work. He has a plan for every one of us. He has a work for us to do. Sometimes we need to think outside the box. Our box, sometimes we put ourselves in a box and, oh, I don't have any talents. God's not going to use me. He can use so-and-so. Or He hears their prayers, but He doesn't hear mine. I'm of no use. I'm not important. That's Satan talking to you. That's Satan whispering in your ear and telling you it's hopeless. And we also need to take the box that we put around God, cast it away. Cast that box that we put God in and cast it away, because He can do everything. He can do all things. He cares. He has a purpose. He has a great and grand and glorious work that He's performing, even at this hour, that's even going to get more grand and more glorious. I need to think outside the box. I need to say, God, what do You want me to do? I may have an idea. I got this neat little box that I built. I got God in his neat little box, and that's what I want. That's what I think he wants. But I have to go outside that box and say, oh, that's what you want. I never thought of that before. Haven't you had that? But light bulb goes off in your head. I never thought of that before. Well, I never looked at it that way before. So he cares. I just want to make the point that he cares about our lives. Anyway, verse 29, it says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. You know, bird. He cares about the bird. Not, I believe this scripture. Not one bird's going to fall to the ground without him knowing about it. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for ye are of more value than many sparrows. He knows us. He knows us. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in voice, in action, in our walk in life. Praise ye the Lord. That's my message tonight, is to praise God. Praise him at work. Praise him at school. Praise him all day long. Our life must be praise unto God. Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of God. All creation, to praise the name of God. Praise him. Verse in the Psalm 146, he says, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. That was David's cry. That's my cry. That's our cry. Praise ye the Lord, because he came and he gave us hope. He gave us the avenue of eternal life. Praise ye the Lord. He's worthy of our praise, brothers and sisters, because he came, he gave his life, he sacrificed his blood for us. You know, in the scriptures it says that, you know, he was in the garden and he sweat great drops of blood. Well, I'm sure he was fearful of the pain and the suffering that he would endure, but those drops of blood, I believe, were for the burden of the sins of the world upon his shoulders. Because he was taking all those sins onto himself. What a burden. And he did it willingly. He did it for you and for I. He did it to give us hope of eternal life. Praise him. Praise the Lord in all your doings. Praise his holy name. Praise him because he is worthy. For he is God and there is no other God. There is none other. He is worthy of our adoration, of our service, of our love. Praise the Lord. I thank you for your time and for your attention. May God bless you in your endeavor to serve him. May we always be found walking in that righteous path that he set before us. Thank you.
Turn to number 96. We can sing our praises using that verse or using that song. Number 96. Please stand.